This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today we are speaking with, once again, Dr. Michael Epstein, plastic surgeon and founder of MAE Plastic Surgery in Northbrook, Illinois. He is here to speak with us about rhinoplasty surgery. Dr. Epstein, a pleasure to have you back with us on the program.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back.
Most certainly great to have you back. You always provide a wealth of information each and every visit, and we do thank you for your time once again. So for starters, covering rhinoplasty surgery, are there different types of rhinoplasty surgery? And if there are, what are they?
Well, actually, I would say almost every rhinoplasty that I perform is unique, just because every nose presents with a unique and different problem. When an experienced rhinoplasty surgeon approaches a nose, we're basically applying, applying some well-known principles and procedures to each nose as they actually present slightly differently. So if you're really looking for me to break down rhinoplasty surgery into some basic categories, I could certainly, we could talk about open versus closed rhinoplasties, functional versus cosmetic rhinoplasties, hump reduction versus tip refinement. You could talk about ethnic rhinoplasties or even, reconstructive rhinoplasties after a severe trauma. That's how I would break the different types of rhinoplasties down.
And with that information, certainly looks like there are plenty of options to choose from. So how is rhinoplasty surgery performed?
Well, this is how I kind of break it down and I kind of explain it to my patients, that, to first understand how rhinoplasty is performed, it's kind of important to, or at least first understand the basic anatomy of the nose. And if you start out, you have to understand that basically the nose is made up of a outer skin envelope, an inner specialized skin called mucosa, and sandwiched between those two layers is the skeletal framework, which is basically, cartilage and bone. And the individual pieces of cartilage and bone that that give the skeletal framework of the nose is what gives us each individual a slightly different shape nose. To perform a rhinoplasty, essentially what we're doing is freeing up the skin and the mucosa from that skeletal framework and then reshaping the cartilage and the bone. Sometimes we're repositioning some of the cartilage and bone. Sometimes we're actually, strengthening them by buttressing them with other cartilage that we may be taking from somewhere else. Essentially, we're reshaping the entire nose with a combination of sutures and reshaping that skeletal framework, and then redraping the skin and the mucosa back and splinting it in place.
And Dr. Epstein, taking that a little further, what is the recovery process like, and are there any side effects or complications that one could expect?
Okay. Patients typically, when they leave the operating room, they leave with an external splint. Sometimes they'll have an internal splint if I'm doing some work on the septum or I have to take cartilage from the septum to be used for some other portion of the rhinoplasty procedure. There may be some bloody drainage, for the first 24 hours coming from the nostrils. It's usually not too heavy. There's bruising and swelling, which usually dissipates or, resolves over the course of the first week to 10 days. I usually take my splints off after about a week, and if there's some stitches that are placed at the base of the nose, they'll come out as well at 1 week. I tell patients not to do any heavy lifting for 3 weeks and no contact sports for 6 to 8 weeks. And I usually follow my patients for at least a year, you know, and it starts out with, you know, visits at 1 week and 3 or 4 weeks. And then after that, every 3 months, just to keep an eye on them, you know, while they're healing over the course of that year. In answer to your question about the complications, they're all pretty, you know, essentially the complications from rhinoplasty surgery are pretty rare, but there's the typical things, you know, there could be bleeding, numbness, which, you know, I'm not even sure I consider that a complication. It's almost, you know, a part of it, the expected result. Most of that resolves over time. But there could be infection, could be alterations in your ability to smell sometimes, difficulty breathing. You know, as in some cases we're making the, you know, we are making the nose a little bit smaller, and we try to pay attention to that, to make sure that we don't worsen the airway. Most of the time we're trying to improve it during rhinoplasty surgery, but sometimes with scar tissue and the way it heals, that might be a complication.
And most helpful details there today. We are with Dr. Michael Epstein, the plastic surgeon and founder of MAE Plastic Surgery, located in Northbrook, Illinois, here on eHealth Radio's Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. So tell us also, what is the difference between an open and closed rhinoplasty?
Well, a closed rhinoplasty is basically where the incisions are hidden within the nostrils. Of course, as I described earlier, we have to make an incision to separate the skin and the mucosa from the skeletal framework. But with a closed rhinoplasty, those incisions are inside the nose. An open rhinoplasty is essentially similar in terms of the incisions, except we're connecting those internal incisions with a small incision that goes across the columella. And the columella is the place on the nose. It's where the skin bridge between the two nostrils of the nose is located, at the real bottom portion of the nose. So it usually heals up really well. Most of the time, it's the patients can't even find the scar. That's how well it heals. With a closed rhinoplasty, I typically reserve that for real simple, you know, hump reductions. Maybe, you know, if the lobule of the nose is a little large and just needs to be a little bit trimmed, we'll do that. But, you know, most of the time I'm doing open rhinoplasty procedures, and that's because most of the time I need to get to gain better control over the shaping process, in particular, you know, around the tip. I would say 80-85% of the rhinoplasties I do are open in nature.
Lastly, Dr. Epstein, what makes a person a good candidate for rhinoplasty surgery, or is there anything that would make a person a bad candidate?
Well, let's see. For starters, they have to have a fixable physical problem. In other words, I have to be able to identify what the patient seems to see and is complaining about. If I can't identify that, then, you know, then we can't really perform the right, I can't do anything for them. They have to, of course, be healthy. They're usually over, typically 15 to 16 years old for a female and 18 to 19 years old for a male. You know, they have to be reasonably, you know, sound mind and essentially, you know, be relatively, you know, for the younger patients that are having rhinoplasties, you know, be pretty mature, so that they can, you know, they understand what they're getting themselves into and will be able to, you know, tolerate the recovery process. And So that's how I would describe a good candidate. You know, a bad candidate would essentially be the inverse of that. If a patient is asking for something that I, you know, either can't perform or won't do, then that would make them, you know, a lousy candidate for rhinoplasty surgery. Sometimes you know, they may be asking, you know, me to do something that I would think would be might be unsafe, So those are the types of things that would kind of rule out that particular person as a potential candidate for rhinoplasty surgery.
Well, Dr. Epstein, certainly appreciate your being candid and very thorough in the information shared here covering rhinoplasty surgery. Where can listeners get all the details on your practice, MAE Plastic Surgery, there in Northbrook, Illinois?
Well, I would always invite them to go to our website, which is maeplasticsurgery.com. You're welcome to call the office. The phone number's on the, you know, is on the website as well. I've got a plethora of before and after photos and a lot of good information right there, much of which we discussed today on the podcast. And I do a lot of blogging, in particular about rhinoplasty surgery. So it's all accessible through the website. That's maeplasticsurgery.com.
Good enough. Well, Dr. Epstein, a pleasure to have had you once again here on eHealth Radio, and certainly wish you all the best and look forward to our next conversation right here again on eHealth Radio.
Thank you very much.
And we've been speaking with Dr. Michael Epstein, the plastic surgeon and founder of MAE Plastic Surgery, located in Northbrook, Illinois. And to learn more, simply visit maeplasticsurgery.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.